We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ Rudo Blaze coming to you live as the Avs drop this one to the Minnesota Wild 4-2. You know, I don't think this is an overly complicated game on the whole. The Avs did not play well enough to win. They didn't win. Particularly, Minnesota did a very good job of capitalizing on their opportunities, which the Avalanche gave them. It's hard when you dig yourself a hole to come back in the NHL, especially against good defensive teams like Minnesota. And ultimately, the Avs come up a little bit short. 60-second rundown here for you. Let's start there. Minnesota gets the first goal in the game fairly early on. The first 10 minutes really was not particularly good hockey from Colorado. I think they got what they deserved there. You get into some weird nonsense penalty calling, which in the end results in a Byram breakaway, which he finishes to put the game back at 1-1. You feel pretty okay at that point for Colorado, but a critical mistake, multiple mistakes really lead to a breakdown late in the first that puts the Avs down 2-1, and the Avs just struggle to get back into the game from there. They end up going down 3-1 in the second period on their own power play. Just a terrible read from Makar gives up a breakaway. That one ends up in the back of your net too, and the Avs spend the rest of the game chasing. They do push back hard. They dominated the third period, just struggled to get the puck to go in the nets. They do get one from Lars Eller to make it 3-2, but ultimately come up short as the empty netter from Minnesota finishes the game 4-2. Was this the worst game ever? No, not even remotely close.
I think it was.
Oh, come on,
no.
Bro.
I think it was the worst game I've ever watched in my whole life.
You watched that Detroit series, bro. I know you're lying.
Yeah. All right, that's not nice. We don't need to open old wounds just to try to heal new ones. It's just cold.
Do the Avs need to be better? Yeah. I think particularly their stars weren't good enough tonight. You get 0 points out of your top line. Really 0 points out of your top six. Yep. Really hard to win a hockey game when your best players are going like that. On the other side, it's even Cale Makar actively cost you a goal today. It's just tough to overcome that. How much of this is, the Avs forwards didn't play well enough. Whatever, they'll be better next game. And how much of this is, hey, you guys need to figure it out.
No, man, I really don't think that the forwards played all that poorly. I don't think that the Avs played all that poorly. You're talking about the difference in this game is one play. It's one, and pick a mistake. Pick whichever one that you want.
It's a fair argument.
It's the Avs set up Minnesota on a.
Yeah.
I don't know the analogy that I'm using for. That I'm looking
they
for.
They set
here.
Them up to win the game.
They set them up
certainly
on a
golden platter.
Yeah, there. Yeah. A golden platter. I don't know why my brain couldn't get there. Blaze keeps waiting for me to get there. Jesus. They set them up on a golden platter for all three of their goals. They hand those three goals to them. Minnesota takes them, says, okay, thanks, and then plays good defense the rest of the game. Gustafson does a great job in net, and the Avs, I mean, you see in the third period when Mikko Rantanen has 60% of the net to shoot at, he fires the thing 4 feet high.
Yep.
Like,
just misses.
This is a conversation about execution tonight where you hand the Wild a couple of great scoring chances, they cash.
And the Avs don't on their
you opportunities. You don't. And on this night, their best players, which includes Gustafson, outplayed your best players, they were which better. Includes Alexander Georgiev.
Absolutely does.
Alexander Georgiev, two of the three goals I have serious issues with.
Yep. A fair argument. Blaze, if you want to go that way, who are you putting this on?
I'm just putting it as a unit as a whole. Like, those first two periods were just awful. The connection of the team was not there. The passing wasn't there. The crispness wasn't there. There was just a lot of errant pucks. I mean, a lot of turnovers that obviously we saw turned up in the back of the net for the Avs. So,
yep.
I don't think you can pick one unit on this. It was a team effort.
Yeah,
I'm not going to argue that. Well,
because when you look at the goals against, which is ultimately what loses you the game, is the mistakes that you make.
For sure.
Is all three levels make mistakes for you that get you to where you are.
Yep.
Because, you know, goal number one, obviously, Georgiev just gives the puck away.
Yep.
But then your top defensive pairing makes no attempt to cover a man in front of the net. You know, it's a nice play, the blind backhanded pass out in front. How do you have no coverage there?
Yeah.
And then the second one, obviously, Girard just gets manhandled.
Just gives the puck
by
away.
Sam Steele.
Well, even before that, he had a chance to basically...
Right.
Put that puck out of a high danger
mishandles
area.
Mishandles it entirely.
And just
yeah.
whiffs on
the
it.
Whole play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A nightmare from him. And then it finishes with him getting absolutely manhandled. And like, if that's like Jordan Greenway, who I know isn't there anymore, but if that's a really big dude,
yeah.
you're like, dude, Sam Girard's not built for that.
Yeah.
But if Sam Girard's not built to fight Sam Steele in front of the net, it's just awful. And then you're watching Georgiev.
Yeah, he needs to come
deep
out,
into the net. He makes no attempt. He just sits there.
He's the shooter tutor on that play.
He just sits there, and you're looking at him, and you're like, that puck doesn't get by you if you get even remotely. He gets caught in the same exact half and half position that Cale Makar gets caught in on the shorthanded goal, the third goal. It ends up being the game winner. You get caught, and when you don't make a decision, that's the decision, and it almost always burns you.
I mean, I'd rather see a stick check right there, like a poke check on the puck from him.
Something more something. Active, for
or
sure.
Or just at least come out.
Yeah.
Something.
Make him even play.
He
to
literally
player.
Sits there with like a statue. He's in his position. He's just sitting there.
Yep. And even the one, once it gets to the point where Girard loses the puck, he, on top of that, guesses wrong and drops his glove.
Yeah.
It's tough. Not a good look.
Dude, it's...
You can't blame one person on that play.
No, no,
either.
Absolutely I mean, not. But
it's
you
a
look
series
at,
of events that happened to
right,
lead
right, but
to
I
that.
Mean, you do look at Sam Girard on that play, and you're like, this is why people lose their shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it's not just like, it sucks because, like, if you get to the end of the game and you look at all the numbers and you look at everything, you pull it all out and you build it all, you build the whole story of the game, and you see that he ends up with an assist. So it's like, He ends up in a – he plays a direct role in a goal in a goal against. He has a direct role in a goal for. But then he also does not score on a breakaway. Like, this was a golden example of, like, why Sam Girard is the lightning rod that he is.
Yep.
Because all defensemen make mistakes. Cale Makar makes multiple.
Far worse mistakes in this game from Cale Makar, I would argue.
There's no coverage whatsoever on the first goal.
He doesn't make a decision on the third.
And the third one, he does the absolute worst thing that he could possibly do.
and since we're in the room, let's talk about it.
Yeah, one really quick thing here. If you're not an Avs fan and you're going to hang out in our chat, you guys are more than welcome to be here. You guys are more than welcome to hang out. If you're going to take any kinds of shots at us or you're going to troll, you're not going to be here the rest of the show. Like, thank you for continuing to keep my lights on and paying my bills. It's a weird way to get back at me, but
there's two things I want to add here.
Just as a quick thing, like, it's all good. We're here to talk about the game. It's fine. You guys are welcome to be here as long as you're respectful. The second that stops, you're out.
Be here. Celebrate your win if you want to. And this goes for not just Minnesota fans. If any of you are making personal attacks, we're just going to ban you. Doesn't matter. The other thing, if you guys are courteous, we appreciate you. We have multiple Wild fans who spend the games in our chat, and they're totally chill. If you come in here just to celebrate the dub, come on.
Yeah, like, go find your own, you know? Like, seriously, there's a Locked On Wild pod. Yep. Like, that's what that's for.
Anyway, this Cale Makar play.
Which one?
The third goal.
Ugh.
I would not have even been upset about it if he full activates, sends it, and goes for it and gives up the breakaway. Yeah. Okay, at least he made a decision and went for
it. You're all in at that point, but if you don't go all in and you get to the same place,
yeah,
you've done the worst possible. It's like when you're defending a 2-on-1. You don't take away the pass. You don't take away the shot. They do whatever they want while you just watch. It's kind of what happens to Cale on that one. And it's so rare with him because he does not do that stuff.
Yeah, his decision-making is usually better.
It's decisive is the thing. He sees a play, he reads it, and he just goes. Yeah. And then whatever happens, happens. Instead, he put himself totally in the middle right there where he can't make a difference on it. He provides no resistance to Gaudreau. He can't get back. He can't make the play. He doesn't do anything, and then he doesn't get a save out of Georgiev, which, like, on breakaways,
that's not the one you're getting on him for.
You're
tonight.
Not really ever going to be like, God, why can't he stop all the breakaways? But it is one where you're like, look, pick any of those three goals. If he makes the one extra save, which ends up being the difference with Gustafsson tonight, he makes the save on that breakaway. Yeah. He makes the save on some chances. You know, there were a couple of posts in there.
For sure.
But like there, you know, he makes that one extra save where you're like, look, sometimes that's just the difference here.
Yep.
And for Georgiev tonight,
didn't make him.
He got beat by one save.
Yep. We'll get to Georgiev in a minute. Blaze, you're looking at these breakdowns. You're looking at particularly on the defensive side of the puck. How much of this is, hey, I need you guys to go look at the tape. I need you guys to do this thing better. And how much of this is Bednar going in the room, kicking the trash can and going, you guys just can't do that.
I mean, I don't even know if it's that. It's just, again, like I spoke to it earlier. It was like, they know what they did wrong. The execution wasn't there tonight. The breakouts looked awful. I mean, there was this, again, pucks being shot to the other team where they just kept the puck in. Like, the puck either has to get out, meaning you just clear that damn puck.
Yeah.
Or it's got to be a good play that you're looking at the person that you're going to make the pass to that's going to get out.
So what's the secret sauce there? How do they do that? Is it just they just didn't have it tonight and it'll be better next game? Or is there a, hey, you need to be doing X thing so it works next time?
I think it's more of just like they just didn't execute what they should have been doing. I don't think there's any concern there. We've seen them. Like, again, it's that thing. It's they went 9-2 now in their last 11 games.
Yeah, big picture again. Yes, not winning this game hurts their chances to win the Central Division significantly.
Yeah.
But they're still playing good hockey as a whole, even if they didn't tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't look at tonight. It's not like the Dallas game where you walked into Dallas.
Yeah, different things.
It was just that game never got competitive.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a totally different story tonight. It's a very, very good hockey game that you get beat.
Again, though, but you go back, it is the slow start there. Like,
it is.
We talked about it, right? Like, they played great in the third period, I thought.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know how you complain about the third period and try and
the only
have that a real slow start that's killing.
The only thing you can be upset with in the third period is what Blaze said. You want better execution. Miko misses a mostly open net. Just misses it.
Yeah.
Things like that, sure. But their overall play, shots ended up, 20-4 or something ridiculous in the third period? That's fine. The problem is you enter the third period spotting Minnesota 2 goals. It's really hard to come back from that. So it's a little all over the place in that regard. And again, if you take a night, and I get score effects as a factor here, but if you take a night where the Avs outshoot their opponent by 15 shots, most nights you'll be like, yeah, I'll take that. I'll feel pretty good about the Avs winning that game. Unfortunately, things didn't click well enough tonight, and they didn't. So that's life sometimes. You're not always going to be the better team. And I don't know. I'm just not overly concerned about it. Certainly a little bit disappointed that the Avs haven't set themselves up to win the Central Division.
Yeah.
But...
Well, you just like to see more. Right. You want the win there, right?
Of course.
It's the biggest game of the year so far.
Until Saturday.
And that's the thing.
Times have we talked about when you get into the final 20 games?
Every game is the biggest
game of the season is your next game.
Yeah.
And
well, for the past few years, though, it's kind of just been like, all right, cool.
Yeah, when you've clinched everything, you're good.
A little different this year.
A little different approach, yeah.
Well, no matter what the approach is, you can still go over to DraftKings Sportsbook and get your money in on whatever you believe. You think the Avs are done? You thought this is it? It's not happening?
I tell you, it blows my mind the people that draw the strong conclusions about the end of the season after every game.
Yep.
Win, lose, just, well, what does this mean for that?
Yep.
Jesus, sometimes it's just a game.
I don't have it this year.
Look, I'm not going to, if you truly believe that the Avs don't have it, bet against them.
Yeah.
You can make a lot of money if you're right. The Avs are huge favorites in the playoffs still. So if you think they're done, you put that bet down, you could walk away with a significant chunk of money if you're right.
Yeah, if they get a first round series against like Seattle.
Yep. And they lose.
And you throw money on the Kraken every day.
You're going to make a lot of money if you're right. Yeah.
You're going to do just fine for yourself.
Yep. It's an option on DraftKings. If you're a believer, you can also put money down on the Avs. That's an option. Good bet right now is to bet on Nikola Jokic to get a triple-double every night.
Because
that's just free money at this point, basically. You can go into all sorts of other sports, too, whatever it is.
Stat padding, baby.
Yeah.
Playing games.
Not bad for a stat patter, for sure. Try to pad your stats.
That should be his MVP speech.
Not bad for a stat patter. Three in a row.
He should say it in Serbian, though.
Jump on it with DraftKings, whatever your sport may be. You can get on it with the DNVR code, a new account. You bet $5, you get $150 in free bets just for placing the bet. So you get to mess around, make good chunk of change. So jump on it. Go check it out.
He should get a racehorse and name it Stat Patter.
That'd be funny.
Stat Patter on the outside.
Use the DMVR code. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And it's void in Ohio. Also brought to you by Illegal Pete's. Look, are you sad and upset about the Avs playing a bad game? Drown your sorrows with an Illegal Pete's burrito. It's the way to go.
Is it a bad game because they lost or a bad game because it was a bad game?
Why not both?
All right, I'm just curious.
I actually don't think it was that bad of a game, though, honest. Other than the Avs' inability to finish, and credit to Gustafson there. But anyway, Illegal Pete's, 3 to 6 p.m., happy hour. It's still March. There's still time. If you get any vodka drink at Illegal Pete's happy hour, they will donate to Youth on Record here in Colorado so you can help out the kids when you're going to happy hour. And their burritos are just delicious. So, you know, go get them because the food tastes good. Also, good reasons to go to Illegal Pete's. 10 different locations here in Colorado to check out. Get them near you.
Yeah, that's an easy ban.
Whose band?
Post P.
Oh, yeah, sure. Definite ban. Not hard.
Yeah.
Moving on. Second period, I can count, of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Well, it was inadvertent, so it's all good.
Oh, my God. I genuinely try to avoid this topic, and I don't think either team even benefited, but what is going on with NHL refing? They make a bad call, and their plan to make up for it is to make an even worse call?
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't understand. I'm going to leave it at that, and we're going to move on.
Yeah, I mean, they got both wrong, And where it hurts the Avs is that the one that they get wrong that benefits them happens with 50 seconds left.
So it ends up in a weird goalie pull situation with less than the full power play.
Because that happened with, what, about 4 or 5 minutes left?
I think it was like 3:30.
Okay. So,
but it's still a full power play.
Well, and you would get a full power play out of it. You certainly
don't pull the goalie at the start of it.
You don't have a goalie pulled at the beginning of it. You're just 5-on-4. And, I mean, whatever happens, happens from that point. But... the fact that they ended up making the wrong call both times.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And the TNT rules expert coming on and spending the first half of the explanation talking about how there are 6 guys on the ice.
But it's inadvertent.
And then being like, hey, look, it's an accident. He didn't mean to play the puck. I'm sorry, but I don't believe Landeskog meant to get on the bench a little bit slowly that one time. But you guys didn't fucking seem to care back then. So... just the way that it got like waved off and explained away after a lengthy discussion, do they have 6 or do they not? And then it being like, oh, well, they had 6, but they didn't mean to.
And it's not like, oh, they had based on historical callings. It's not like they just had 6. The 6th dude touched the puck.
Right.
It's a penalty for my entire life. That's been a penalty.
Every single time.
They
did call the interference call, though. Obviously a pick play.
Which, again, is the Avs have been on the wrong side of that call.
At least they called it.
Well, we sent it on the watch along, and he was like, why is this a thing?
Yeah, so the Byram penalty doesn't exist.
Yep.
And then that they have they call 3 penalties in about a minute. Only one of them is a penalty.
The Eller high stick was the only real penalty. Yeah,
because the Byram hook is not real. It's total garbage.
That was the old, put it under my arm and then...
Ah! And then I fall way backwards and I throw my hands up and Bo Byram's like, wait, what? Where'd that guy go? so they called 3 penalties in a minute. One of them is an actual penalty.
And
it's the third one. Like at that point, it's the third one. It was ridiculous.
I didn't even want to get into this conversation. I hate that we have to go here on nights because the reffing is so consistently bad that it's genuinely changing games.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like it has an impact on both teams. It's not the reason that the Avs lose.
It was sided one way.
And it's just the reason that the Wild won this game.
Right. It was just awful.
It was just bad officiating.
it particularly for fans that are newer or casual, it ruins the sport.
Yeah, well, because you're when you get into a sport, you're like, all right, what's going on in here?
Yep.
And then they start calling things and you're like, I really don't see what happened there. And you're like, man, neither do we. And then it's like, okay, hey, look, like one of the easier things that you call.
And then it doesn't.
Is a too many men.
And they get together for 3 minutes and guys talk about it. Yeah.
There's 6 guys out on the ice. The 6th guy touches the puck. Like, hey, that's a penalty every time.
Yep.
Now no longer is it a penalty every time that the stick gets in your hands. But when there's 6 dudes on the ice, it's not a penalty.
All right. We got to get out of this conversation. So we got Jesse in the background coming in from the arena for us. Jesse, what do you got for us? What do you got to tell us about this hockey game that is something other than the reffing, please? Because I need something else. Technical difficult? We're getting there. Give us a minute. There we go. Hello?
Hello?
Ah, perfect.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Thumbs up? Good. Sweet. All right. So you don't want to talk about the reffing, but I have to comment on what you guys were just talking about. How's that? I'm assuming this is working now. Okay, perfect. He didn't like the call. The explanation on it I thought was weird. To AJ's point, I always thought it was, hey, a 6th guy touched the puck. He touched the puck. Doesn't matter if he meant to or not. So that was that. Basically, I talked to Bo and Byram in the locker room. We talked to Mikko Rantanen, Jared Bednar. Basically, all of them shared the same sentiment that there just wasn't enough want out of the gate. Jared Bednar said we had way too many passengers for the first period and beyond. But he was very, very clear to point out that he wanted to have one-on-one conversations with the guys who didn't put in the work tonight because he thought that there were just way too many passengers, way too many people standing by watching. Again, just not good enough through those first two periods. Let me see through my notes here. Didn't like Georgiev's night. He said it wasn't his best. Made sure to call out that there were just some brutal mistakes on those first couple goals. Just some bad breakdowns. Peter Bott asked him, and we all kind of laughed because we knew what he meant in terms of that first goal on the giveaway. He said, was that a breakdown in our systems? Was that something that maybe wasn't supposed to happen? Jared cut him off and said, yes, we're not supposed to pass it to the other team. And when he was like, well, no, but like, was there? He's like, doesn't matter. There was no one there. He shouldn't have made that pass. You know, just way too many mistakes in their own zone. You know, he called out the Cale Makar pinch that led to the shorthanded goal. Just saying he has to make a better or quicker decision there. He just seemed too in, out, in, and now the puck's by him. So just a lot of mental mistakes. Now, he made sure to call out, like, he liked the pushback in the third. And obviously, we talk about that all the time when it's going against the Avs. You expect that, a team that's down two, to push back there in the third. He said that he thought maybe there was some puck luck that if it had gone their way there in the third. Someone's muting me, and it's not me. This is going great. Yeah, you know, just some, you know, bad luck there on those final couple, you know, final 10 minutes. But again, he just kept coming back to, yeah, we got some bad puck luck there in the last 10 minutes. There was way too many things that we did before that put us in a hole that we had to work our way out of. Really, that was just what it came down to for, like I said, the guys in the locker room and Jared Bednar. It was a slow start. They all felt like they had the right message, but just didn't have the legs once the game got going. A lot of emphasis on turn the page. As much as this one sucks, you got Dallas coming in on Saturday. You're still 3 points back of the Central Division lead, still with a game in hand, so this is not over. But this one definitely stung a bit. You could tell the guys in the room took this one to heart. It was just a tough night for them to not have their best, you know, and I'm sure you guys have already talked about that, that for me personally, I thought it was too many mistakes, too many mental errors, bad giveaways, Sam Girard getting out-muscled in front of the net, Georgiev gives the puck away, and Cale Makar makes the mistake on the power play. Just a lot of bad mistakes. Eventually, they just couldn't dig themselves out of it. Give Gustafsson a lot of credit, too. I thought he was really sharp tonight. A lot of kind of easy shots from the perimeter, but he found him through traffic, did a good job tracking him down. Really, guys, that was about it. Bad start, too many passengers for a period and a half.
Okay, Jesse, really quickly, your thoughts on this game. Are you chalking this one up to the Avs failing to execute and not really having it tonight, or do you think they left something out there on the table?
That's a great question. I think it's a little bit of both. Like, I think they didn't start, not to use this phrase that we beat to death sometimes, they didn't start on time. They didn't have that intensity out of the gates that they needed to. And that, to me, is where it feels like they left something on the table. Where, you know, yes, you can say they just weren't good enough. They didn't execute this, that, and the other. Not starting the game with that just ramped up intensity. It felt to me, and I know some of the guys mentioned this too, it felt like Minnesota wanted it more. You know, I'm never one to try to, like, question if guys, oh, they weren't working hard enough. They weren't trying hard enough. You know, these guys put in a lot of effort, but it just not having that same purpose out of the gate, they just put themselves behind the eight ball too early, and they were just chasing the game the whole time. You had guys who were fighting the puck, who were working hard. You had guys who weren't working very hard that just weren't working very hard. That to me is where it feels like, yes, they didn't execute and they had their own struggles, but the way that game started feels to me like they left a lot to be desired and left, you know, left something on the table.
All right, cool. I'm Jesse, anything else to add, or we'll get on with the show? All right, perfect. Thank you very much. Battling through the technical difficulties there, Jesse. We appreciate you. Live from the rink. Getting back into our side of things on this one. Look, I don't think it's any secret. I know we kind of already touched on it. Jesse touched on it a little bit there. Georgiev's got to got to help the Avs a little bit on a night like tonight.
Yep.
Just has to be better. And again, talking about this game in a vacuum, Georgiev has to be better. In the month of March, he's been just fine.
You're talking about he needs to be a save better.
Yeah. One save out of him.
Yep.
So these margins are extremely thin.
Yeah, and the margin for error in the postseason is like this every night because every team is good.
Yep.
There are no Chicago's and San Jose's and Anaheim's. There's no free passes when you get to the postseason. And this is where I think the schedule has done the Avs a disservice, is that they're going into games where they can kind of sleepwalk their way through early on and then pull away late. That's largely over. Next week is the last time that they have nobody like bums on the schedule. But I think it will do them a service to have two games in a row that mean everything.
It's an interesting conversation, too, because, yes, they are hurtling towards the playoffs where these things do matter, obviously, more. But also, as we talked about during the game, it's hard because there was a playoff atmosphere in this game, right? Obviously, this is a battle for the top of the division. It matters. And at the same time, you're talking about both teams missing key pieces in this hockey game. So a playoff matchup won't look the same.
Hopefully.
I'm not getting into results. I'm just saying different players doing different things. Where do you two stand on the Avs? Do you feel better getting those guys back? Or do you feel like, you know what, they might not have some chemistry with a guy like Lehkonen dropping back into the top six, with trying to find a pairing mate for Josh Manson?
Oh, I mean, I'm taking those guys back in a heartbeat. I mean, that's just adding talent to your roster. It might take a game or two to get back into it, but these are guys that have played, you know, well, like for 2 years now. They know. They get it. They'll click back in.
Yeah, and Lehkonen's had more or less the same job since he got to Colorado. Yeah. So it's been, I think that'll be pretty easy. But, you know, with Manson, there could be
a little bit more
of a larger effect depending on the deployment that they want to use. But either way, I mean, obviously those guys just make you better. And if you get Landy back,
we're not even going there yet. That's a whole nother level.
But even on Manson on the other side too, right? Like we always talk about those matchups. It puts everybody in the right position where they should be playing the minutes that they should be playing.
Hi, Mom. I appreciate the love. I don't think anyone on the earth is saying go Blackhawks right now, though.
It's true. Even Blackhawks. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't disagree with you guys. The Avs are just better with more talent in their lineup. But I have seen some sentiment that there are concerns about that chemistry and things going into the playoffs. The other side of that is, are the guys the Avs get back moon needle movers? Wow, I can speak. Yeah.
Yes, even if it's just Lehkonen and nobody else, if it's no Manson and no Landeskog, just Lehkonen.
Even on a night like tonight, you feel like that makes a big difference?
Yes, it absolutely makes a difference because that is a crash test dummy with skill. Like, Arturi Lehkonen does all the little things, and you never question his effort. You never question the heart. You never question the want of that guy. And that is a dude that you have no idea the difference that one of the little things that he could have done could have made on a night like this. Now, this is one of those nights where it's really easy to look at Mikko Rantanen and be like, dude, which one of the five prime scoring chances would you like to have a second crack at?
The three that didn't even hit the net would help.
Yeah, but you are really seriously looking at Lehkonen and saying, look, that it makes your top six that much better because now you have, you know, you have Lehkonen there, but then you have Nichushkin with Compher and maybe Rodriguez as your top six. It's just a little bit better.
Okay.
And Lecky's your poor man Landeskog on the ice.
Yeah.
Not from like the captain.
Well, and when you have Lehkonen and you have Nichushkin, you have them on different lines. You have really high-end defensive forwards on both sides. Guys that make really good decisions for you, guys that win battles, guys that outwork other guys, and guys that get pucks to safety on a regular basis. It's a huge difference not having Arturi Lehkonen. It's a huge difference. He's not as good as Gabe Landeskog, and I think because of that, we can kind of fall into the pattern of just taking him a little bit for granted. But to be honest with you, not having either of those guys, not having the three of those dudes in your lineup, in your forward core, like if you throw a Landeskog and a Lehkonen in your forward core with a Lars Eller, like you are so good defensively. Your forward core is so good. And then, oh, by the way, your defense is unbelievably good. And it just raises that level. Even Arturi Lehkonen, though. Just even Arturi Lehkonen. No Josh Manson, no Gabe Landeskog. It's a big effect. Take out another top six guy out of Minnesota. Just pick one. I don't care. I don't care which one.
Right.
Sure. Just pick one. Take that guy out, and obviously Kaprizov is better than Landeskog and Lehkonen. But take Kaprizov out. I don't want to take Boldy out because that's too easy and he's been really hot lately, but like take Zuccarello.
Yeah.
You know, take tonight Freddie Gaudreau out of their lineup. You know, just having that two-way guy, the guy that does a little bit of everything for you but adds that offensive punch, it's no joke. It's very, very important. Those are usually the guys that make just that little extra difference in a best of seven. Your best players still have to be your best players. But it's how good are the next tier, the tier two players. If your series is coming down to tier three players, it has been a fantastic series. <You're doing all laughs>
having a banger at that point. Okay. Look, if you have to play a game with these referees, you may be entitled to compensation. So call Bacchus and Shanker at 222-2222. A fun joke, but seriously, if you've been injured, whether it's in a car accident, even if you weren't driving, even if it was like a Lyft rideshare situation, Uber, whatever, they can help you out. Even if it was something at work where you were injured and it's not your fault, that is what Bacchus and Shanker does. They take those cases and they get you the money that you should be getting. Again, you can call them at 222-2222 or go to coloradolaw.net to get a hold of them. They will give you a free consultation on your potential case. If they think you have a case, they'll take it on for free. You don't have to pay anything at all until you win your case. So it costs you nothing, essentially, to get, again, what you probably deserve from whatever your case may be. They've been doing it for 25 years. They've done so much of it. They've won over $1 billion for their clients. So they're very, very good at what they do. They get you money, assuming you deserve it. If you don't deserve it, then don't call them. What are you doing? But for those of you who deserve it, make sure you get in there, get what you're worth. What?
Nothing.
Go ahead. Okay. Bacchus and Shanker.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
You don't. If you didn't get injured and this doesn't apply to you, please don't call them.
If you were walking here.
Yeah, just don't call just to like have a chat.
That's not what they do.
Business inquiries only.
Press the 2 number. Go to coloradolaw.net. Get Bacchus and Shanker to help you out. Get what you deserve because that's what they'll get you. Also brought to you by the people over at Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Absolutely love the folks over there. They've been great to us. I can't officially say because we don't know exactly what it is yet, but... word on the street is they got a big, big giveaway coming our way pretty soon here. So keep your eyes peeled for a Breck Brew giveaway.
Such a gross phrase.
What phrase?
Keep your eyes peeled. Like I'm going to peel my eyelids like they're a potato. Like I'm just going to peel them back so that they stay open permanently. It's like
you're not wrong like about the gross phrase, but like I've had my eyes peeled. Ugh. Because I got LASIK done. And that they literally like peel your eye. So... it is pretty gross. I'm not going to lie.
See?
We'll stop. Stop right now, chat. If you're going to call out individual people, we're just going to ban you. This is stupid. Stop doing it. Third period.
Stop fighting.
You're right. if you want to talk shit about the Avs, fine, to a reasonable degree.
Yeah.
If you're calling out people in the chat... you're an idiot.
Yeah, especially the people that are here every game.
No like, kidding.
Avery can be a little much in terms of the emotional roller coaster for me, but that's how she is as a human being, guys. It's fine. Yep. We're all different. And she's it's all here. Good.
Yep.
We're all just different.
Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's talk about a few of the good things in this hockey game. One, you get a goal from Bowen Byram. What does that look?
He said that people peel their eyes for fun. That sounds nasty.
Wow, that's weird.
I got a lot of things to Google tonight.
Bowen so Byram to gets his 10th goal in the season. Dude, look, on the so whole, good. I don't actually think he had that great of a game. I think there were a lot of breakdowns defensively from him tonight.
Yeah.
But 10 goals in 38, was this game 38 for him, something like that? Know. I mean, that's...
It's in that neighborhood.
Dude's nasty. What's not to love about Bo?
Yeah. I said, I keep saying he might push for seriously a 30-point season and play 40-some-odd games.
He finished his breakaway.
Yep. Of a night where plenty of Avs didn't finish, he did.
Yeah.
Gerard. Gerard. That's all I could think about after the last game.
I used to wear contacts. I didn't peel my eyes. That's disgusting.
You peeled the contact off, sort of,
exactly.
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not peeling my... That's nasty.
And then our other goal scorer of the game, the person I'm giving king of the game to, not just because of the goal, but because I think especially out of that third line, even, you know, this is more of a line award because at times you saw Darren Helm get moved up there, but I'm giving king of the game to Lars Eller, the dude who gets the goal in your depth. Exactly that. Kept the Avs and gave them a chance in this game.
He had multiple chances too, not just that goal that he scored. There was multiple chances.
And you could see it, too. Sometimes couldn't quite get it all the way there. But the puck was on that guy's stick in the offensive zone, and things started happening. There was some creation there. So credit where credit is due for a guy that the Avs picked up at the deadline and expected to drop in and do things like he did tonight. Mm-hmm. You can see how it's working well.
Yeah, and I think you could still quibble with the price, but I think overall... Lars Eller has been a fine addition to the team and a valuable guy in there.
Yeah, no arguments.
I don't even want to say bottom six, just in their lineup in general. He's been
effective.
He's been good. And in a game like this, you saw on multiple shifts where his value really popped because he was able to cycle pucks really effectively, which is something that the Avs forward lineup is like super hit or miss.
Yeah.
It was one of his strengths coming in, and we talked about how he was going to add that element to whatever line that he was on. He was going to elevate their ability to do that, and he did that. I thought he did that really well tonight. There were some shifts, especially when the Avs were not playing very well early on in the game, and they really needed a little bit of energy.
Jump, yeah,
you know, the Darren Helm, Cogliano, LOC.
Yep. Whirlwind of a shift.
Had one really great shift in particular, but you saw Eller was stringing together noticeable shifts. Yeah. And then as the game started to tilt in Colorado's favor, Eller just continued to have that positive impact when he was out there. And it was a good night. You know, obviously the goal is just him standing in front of the net and Taves making a really nice play. As once again, your puck moving ability from your defense creates a goal because that it starts with Gerard and it lands on the stick of Taves and then he throws that puck in front to Lars for that tip. That's like the exact play that they were trying to make, maybe too many times tonight at times. But they that Eller, you know, Lars Eller continues to be quality for him. He's rock solid.
On a night where you kind of mentioned it, the Avs are looking for a bit of consistency. He provided it.
Yeah.
On the forward side, I'd put it that way. But.
Now, obviously, you would love to swap the effectiveness of Lars Eller for Mikko Rantanen, because if you do that, you probably score 5 goals tonight.
And I wanted to get into this conversation, too, because for a night where it feels a little bit like you're having a bit of a meltdown in the Avs fan base.
Well, they lost, so... Yes.
They didn't play their best. They weren't finishing very well.
Yes.
It was still a one-goal game. They hit multiple posts throughout the game, whether it be Darren Helm, Mikko Rantanen, and I think there was one other as well. I forget who hit it.
Who hits it in the final minute?
Yeah, I forget who it was, but...
I don't remember.
Newhook, maybe? I don't know.
I just don't. I don't know who it was. I was already checked out.
It doesn't matter. My point is, for a game that was that close, the Avs... had multiple plays where they missed by a couple inches.
You really are talking about, like, it's very, very close to this game being 3-3 and going into an overtime, right, or at least getting 3-3 and being tied.
Yeah.
There's a number of things where you give Gustafsson all the credit in the world.
Absolutely.
But then you look at 48 goal scorer Mikko Rantanen all of a sudden just shooting pucks, just spraying all around the net, but not in it.
Everything but the net, basically.
And a guy who's an elite shooter in the NHL.
That was just JT. Thank you, Chad.
To have an off night in that manner is so notable.
Yep.
It just pops so much where you're like MacKinnon it comes and goes with him. He has his waves. You know, obviously he's scored like 18 goals in the last 24 games or something outrageous. Like that. Like,
yeah.
He's been on a heater for 2 months, but a guy like Mikko is always so steady. He scores pretty consistently. And to see tonight where
just wasn't there.
Yeah. The two that really stand out to me, the one timer on the power play where it's just not even on net.
Yeah.
And he had net to shoot at
a lot of
and
then the one in the center of the ice that he just doesn't do anything where you're like, dude.
And well, I think even on some of the ones he didn't necessarily shoot, we saw him on that power play spot, multiple double clutches from him on pucks that he's usually wiring.
Yeah. And you're wondering what in the world is a guy playing as well as he has this season doing, having that level of a confidence problem when he's sitting on 48. Like, we've been joking he doesn't want it, but tonight you're like, do you have money on this? Like, is this like, is there a DraftKings bet of Mikko doesn't hit 50 at like plus 3,000 or something? And he took it? Like, what is going on? It's just, obviously, he's not actually gambling on his own games. That's obviously.
It's clear sarcasm, Chad. Yeah.
But just crazy to see a guy that has been such a special goal scorer this year.
So I actually don't agree with this conversation in chat. I know he didn't score, but I thought Erod was one of the Avs' better players tonight.
Yeah, I thought Erod was all over the place. You had to really like the skating was causing Minnesota problems. They had to continue. Their defense doesn't want to turn around and put the back to them.
Yep.
They want to keep it all in front and go this way. They don't want to have to turn, and Erod was pulling that apart a little bit. He had an impact on their defensive structure at times. Now he's Erod, so you know the results are
you're going to get what you're going to get.
Absolutely all over the place. But the impact that he was having in the game was pretty solid.
All right. Looks like we got a bunch of super chats to get to.
I don't know
here.
What's happening in chat now. When I haven't looked at chat and then I see multiple LMAOs just, at the same
they're
time.
They're jumping to all sorts of topics. Like,
I'm afraid. I need an adult.
$5 from Mike, who says this was a playoff game. The mold showed up and played like it right away. It took until the third to look fully engaged. Nope. We're calling them the mold. I think the Avs showed up a little bit before the third, as Blaze was saying.
I think you have way more individual issues than you do team-wide issues of
the Avs were effort. Certain first 10 minutes, 100%. Avs showed up late.
Yeah.
But in the second period, the Avs were genuinely trying. It just wasn't connecting. Blaze, I know you kind of mentioned that. You saw it kind of spiral as the team started passing to areas instead of to players.
And if you look at it from playoffs, Avs go 2-1 against the Wild this year.
Yeah, they beat them more times than they lost to them this year. So, and again, not exactly representative rosters for the playoffs.
Nope,
it's just I don't know. $10 from Melanie, who says, "Love the Avalanche, no matter what. Sucks they lost, but it's done. On to the next." That's how you want the Avs to feel about it.
Always
so
positive.
She does usually bring the positive vibe.
Sucks they lost. See you guys in a few days. Or love the win tonight. See you guys in a few days. Like respect.
That's a healthy. That's a healthy way to look at this.
That is a well balanced sports fan.
Well, we get a well balanced chat because Melanie brings that, and then Avery says, "Throwing up was better than watching that shorty." Thank you for the $2, Avery.
Which one?
Much appreciated. I got to tell you, I've thrown up a lot in my life, and I would rather watch the shorty.
Same. I know it was one of the weirdest relationship things when Z and I started dating and started spending all the time in person. And we had this conversation where she was like, "You throw up a lot." And I was like,
I guess.
This is the harshest criticism I've ever heard.
Sorry.
This hurts my feelings. I'm going to go cry so hard that I throw up now.
$25 from the incredible Drew, who says, OMG, they played like crap for half the game and lost. Forfeit the season. God, people need to chill out. If they don't beat themselves like they did tonight, they're fine. Also, referee availabilities absolutely need to happen.
Especially after games like tonight, right? Like, you just, you would love to just...
Inadvertent, huh? Do you know what that word means?
I mean,
so many questions.
Not even like, I know a lot of people say like, oh, they want the referees to just be able to shit on them. That's not what we want. Yeah. We want the refs to be available so we can get their side and be like, okay, here's what they saw. This is why it could have been a reasonable thing.
And I've made this point a million times, literally every other person at every level of hockey is accountable publicly for things that they do. We are accountable publicly for the things that we say, any things that we do during a watch along or whatever. If we were on the watch along saying all kinds of out of pocket shit, we would face accountability for that.
Yep.
The players, the coaches, assistants, the training staff for the Avalanche has come under fire this year because of injury issues. Every general managers, Gary Bettman, people that work at the NHL office, literally, the marketing department comes under fire every 16 seconds in the NHL. Every single person who has a job in hockey has a public-facing level of accountability on some level where we have to answer for certain things. Everyone has to answer for it except officials. And it drives me nuts that they get protected. And I don't want people, this day and age, people are nuts. And they're going to like death threats and like crazy shit, right? Like, don't want any of that, but a simple presser where it's like, we need you to explain some of this because this is inexplicable. Have a little monitor there where they can look at the calls that they made. You have a conversation about it.
I don't know what happened there. Yeah.
It's a ladder that they're moving.
Okay. It's not something collapsing down there. That's good.
It's not what I was concerned about.
Anyway. It's crazy. And again, this is as much for them to say like, hey, no, this is our case. There's a reasonable reason that they made some of these calls.
Right. And if they're like, hey, look, if you go and you look at this rule or whatever, like, okay, here's your explanation for it. And you're like, all right, cool. How much does it change? I don't know. But not having any kind of public accountability for the third team on the ice that regularly impacts outcomes is an extremely frustrating part of the process.
Five more dollars from Melanie, that says, thanks again for your insight. Go on to the next. Go Avalanche.
Yes.
And then $2 from DeGro, who says, loss happens. I just enjoyed the game.
It was a great hockey game.
It was a very good game. It's certainly, again, one of those games where if you don't have a dog in the fight, you feel real good about it.
Yeah.
P.S. Don't ever have a dog in the fight. That's bad.
Yes.
I mean, look, did you want better from Colorado tonight? Absolutely. Are you disappointed that they are now 3 points back of first in the Central? Absolutely.
Man.
Are you frustrated with some of their lack of execution tonight? Absolutely.
Yep.
Are you worried over the Avs in the big picture? I'm not. I'll let y'all answer for yourselves.
I have no concerns right now.
I mean, I think that they can't beat good teams is overblown.
Yep.
It also, like, it is also fair to say, what's the last, like, good team that they beat?
Toronto.
Okay.
On the second half of a back-to-back.
That was at the front half.
They played them.
They played Ottawa in the second night.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
It's true.
Yep, you're right.
Because that was the JoJo game. So you have Toronto. Totally fair.
You do have to go a ways from there.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
Like, that game ruled. You blew the Seattle game, so you at least lost that one in overtime, but you blew that game. And then before that, you know, because they had just come off that stretch where they were playing a bunch of teams that the games mattered. They'd beat Edmonton and Calgary and Minnesota in Minnesota on a Sega Baba where they got outshot like 40-13 or whatever it was that day. Yeah. I think that some of this, I mentioned this earlier, is a function of the schedule where you play so many bad teams at the end of your schedule. It's easy for the points, but then the intensity is so different Like, they're going to go from San Jose, San Jose next week. San Jose has won 7 home games, which was 6. Wow, Winnipeg.
Beat the Jets.
Had to get it in there, didn't you?
Shut out the Jets, no less.
That was bad.
But you do, like, you look at the level of intensity where L.A., you're going to go from San Jose to L.A. You are going from the bottom to the top. Like, you don't get a bigger variance there. It's crazy. And I don't think that that's an excuse for any of this, just that I think it's a hard thing to do.
Sure.
To where you're to ramping it up
a little bit.
Yeah, where you have to ramp up so much for the games against quality teams. And then, especially at the end of the year, you're just like, dude, look at how many former either Colorado Eagles or Avs castoffs are on the San Jose Sharks right now. And you're like,
oh boy.
Whoa, dude, this is like a dumping ground for them right now. Like, there's a lot. There's like 5 of them, man. It's kind of crazy.
All right. The path has evolved, all
right? Right.
For a long time, Avs were Columbus West.
Yeah, and now...
And now San Jose is Colorado Western.
Westest. Yeah. Yes, Colorado Westest. So it is an interesting thing where they are going from those extremes, though. But then, I mean, you do look at... They go into Montreal. I don't know, Montreal's obviously no great shakes. But Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, and Detroit, 3 teams that are all like, they're all, those last two, it's all about their culture right now for them. But like, we're not that far removed from that trip, guys, where they went 4-0.
Yeah.
Well, and someone posted in the chat 11-2 in their last 13 or whatever it is.
So like, when you could pick apart and be like, well, look at who they lost to. Like, so they lost to good teams?
Which all teams lose to good teams sometimes.
Isn't that how this works? Yeah. Well, because isn't the complaint earlier this season that they couldn't beat the bad teams?
It was, yeah.
Is they blow through? They blow 2 games against Vancouver.
Yeah.
They blow a 3-0 lead against Anaheim. They lose in Chicago.
Lost to the Yotes first game they played.
Exactly. And so you are looking at it and you're like, okay, they threw all those points away, but they were staying afloat beating decent teams. You know, now it's just a little bit... It's a little bit different.
All right.
So, yeah, and you say 2-6 against playoff teams in March. Exactly. You just...
Do you know...
A convenient cutoff.
Do you know the Avs record last year against playoff teams in the last month of the season? It wasn't very good.
Difference obviously being, though, that this is not a fair comparison because a team that has clinched the first seed and home ice and is done... And is just playing not to get hurt. The Avs are playing for something really meaningful.
I hear you.
In that the difference between having to go through Dallas and Minnesota rounds 1 and 2, and then right now it would be Seattle and then Dallas or Minnesota, is a big, meaningful difference. This is a meaningful loss. They blew their best chance to take a stranglehold on the division. They blew it on home ice tonight.
It's absolutely a meaningful loss.
It is a fair criticism.
Because of the fact that they don't get the stranglehold on the division. We said this last year. We said this every year. Every year. There is not a one-to-one comparison between regular season games and playoff games.
Yes.
You just cannot... take those directly and translate.
I am not building this into anything having to do with the postseason. I am only focused on finishing the regular season and the seeding and where they end up and the matchup and their road through the West, whatever it becomes. That is my main conversation. And that's why I think it's fair to say when you look at the upcoming schedule and you say, okay, you have San Jose and Anaheim next week, but in there you also have an LA. And then you have an Edmonton. And then, obviously, you have Dallas on Saturday. But then you finish up with Winnipeg and Nashville, 2 teams who it's looking increasingly like
out of it.
Those games are going to could easily mean a thing to them.
They could mean a lot for Colorado. I don't know if
they could be meaningful.
They could be meaningful for the Preds, too.
They could be meaningful for both of them.
That's true. It just depends on how things play out. They could be meaningful.
So you are looking at it and saying, look, they need to raise their level in these games. They just have to. What is okay? It's a reflection of that light,
yeah.
And it was in my peripheral.
Yeah,
and I just assumed because it's Colfax, I just assumed that it was a cop car.
I saw someone in chat talking about. We'll talk about Poland tomorrow. Poland. I don't know how to say his last name.
Oh, the Western Michigan kid. Yeah.
We'll talk about it on the show tomorrow, so you'll have your info on him later.
I would love to satiate Avery's desire for us to talk about the Isabel Cup, but I didn't watch it and don't have anything to say about it.
I also did not watch it.
Other than it looked like a great game. People on Twitter were freaking out, and I know it went into overtime, and I wish I had, but I was writing because the Avs played that day.
I think I finished my video at 10 p.m., and I was like, oh, sick, they're in overtime, okay.
That was the thing, is like it was like second monitored but muted because I can't, when somebody's talking, I can't write.
Yep.
But weirdly enough, if they're singing, I have no issues.
I watched it, Avery. It was awesome.
All right, well, so we can bring Tiff on, and Tiff can talk about it. There you go,
the Tiff show. We will be live tomorrow, no matter what, though. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us tonight. That's all we got. We're going to get out of here. We appreciate you as it rolls over to Thursday.
It's officially the morning.
Friggin' 8:20 starts. We will talk to you on the next one.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.